This is from Mark chapter 7, and it starts with verse 24. And from there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released. And he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And as they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. When you're thinking about getting into the car and driving over toward the tollway or 635 or Highway 75, you have to have a certain amount of faith in yourself that you will be able to make it through all of that and get where you want to go safely. And if you don't have that confidence in yourself or in the person that wants to take you, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. In a lot of ways, in your life and my life, it takes faith, a confidence, a trust in yourself, your skills, knowledge, and abilities to do a lot of things, or you don't do them. You don't say, "Come over for a wonderful meal," and you don't know the first thing about cooking a wonderful meal. I mean, I suppose you do, but then you realize you have to have a confidence in yourself before you try to do that again. And so it is correct to say we need to have a kind of faith in ourselves and a confidence, even a faith in those around us, or things aren't going to work. But that's a different kind of faith than the kind of faith we see in our gospel reading for today. And I know in Mark chapter 7, we didn't hear anything about faith. But this account is also in Matthew's gospel, and I want to point out what I mean. And so this woman comes with a request, and she asks for help. And then Jesus finally answers by saying, "Woman, you have great faith." Again, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great faith. That's what we would like to have. But it's a different kind of faith than the kind of faith we can have in ourselves or the people around us. This faith, you could call, is a saving faith. And it's a faith born of God, and it's a faith that's focused on God. I would like to suggest that it's a faith that holds tight to God. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about. Faith that trusts in and holds on to Jesus. We're at the end of Mark chapter 7, and Mark chapter 7 is a fascinating portion of Scripture. It starts with the institutional church pointing their finger and getting after Jesus. Why aren't your disciples following our rules? Why aren't you going with the traditions of the elders like everyone is supposed to do it? They don't like the way Jesus, God in flesh and blood, has come upon the scene, and it looks like he's just wrecking their church, and they've had it up to here, and they're calling him on it. What's interesting is Jesus turns around and says, "Why are you wrecking God's word? Why are you saying you're using your God's word, and yet you're actually nullifying it?" That's a scary thought, that the church can actually take the word of God and make it of no value. That's scary. And that's the charge that Jesus gives to them. And then he goes on to point out the real root of the cause, and it's that heart condition some of us thought about last Sunday. The heart condition that all of us have that's incurable apart from Christ and what he can do. And how a heart condition like the one I have and the one you have needs nothing less than the cure of Christ, his love and forgiveness. How wonderful it is that he's not afraid to point out the problem, but also pour the cure within us by the power of his Holy Spirit, pouring the love of God to the core of us. That's what you and I have in us. We're new creations because of what God has done through his Son. And now we come to this. It's an interesting movement from Jesus being bawled out to Jesus being held on to. What's going on here? I would like to suggest that a healthy, forgiven heart filled with the Holy Spirit needs exercise on a regular basis. So, as God's own, converted in the forgiveness of our sins, we need to be at the gym. And here's the good news. There's a trainer who's not afraid to put us through the routine. And here's the bad news. Your whole life is the gymnasium. Your heart and my heart needs to be exercised in all kinds of different ways so that we can have a strong heart, a heart with the confidence of God, a heart that's willing to risk and share the name of Jesus. And Jesus isn't afraid to take us through the routine. Not that we like the routine. We're Americans. We like things to be easy and fast and not that time-consuming. Unfortunately, that's not the way Jesus works. And it may be that in this process of meditation, you'll see all the ways that you are being taken through the gym. But keep in mind that the Lord does this not to hurt you and me, but to grow us in a confidence and a trust that holds on to him no matter what we're going through or dealing with, or what others are going through and dealing with, and also what it takes for us to be a part of that process in their life. And so we have a trainer who actually desires to train our hearts, and we get a picture of that in our gospel reading. But we're going to go from Mark 7 to Matthew 15, and I want to go through this reading again. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Boy, can you hear the mother? Can you hear her heart? Now, we don't know how she ended up knowing about Jesus, but as Jesus was going about the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving, word was going around about this pastor, this rabbi, who was unlike any other, the things he was doing. And so people were sharing the bits and pieces of this Jesus. And no doubt, she heard enough of the good news that the Holy Spirit worked faith in her. And as she heard about Jesus, she started saying, well, he can help my daughter. He can help me. And so she comes to where he's at. And she says, have mercy on me. Boy, she's right there with her daughter. She's hurting for her daughter. And so she asks for help. That's what faith does. When faith realizes this Jesus, this one, is the one who can help like no other, faith asks. But then we hear this from Matthew. Jesus did not answer a word. What do we call that? The silent treatment. He acts like she's not even there. Gives her the cold shoulder. Oh, and so it says she went home. Is that what faith does? Okay. Guess it's no big deal to you, even though it's killing me. Is that what faith says? No. But it's really interesting. It gets weirder other than the silent treatment by God. We hear this. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. They've had it up to here with her. Apparently, what she's doing is she's not just saying it once. She's talking to anybody she can. And Jesus is giving the silent treatment, so she's going to the disciples, and the disciples are having it up to here. Oh, that's great. They just want Jesus to get rid of her. So Jesus is giving one the silent treatment. The others are saying, get rid of her. She's bothering us. And then Jesus says this. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. To be sure, God in flesh and blood would come to the nation of Israel. He would fulfill the Mosaic law. He would do everything. And then through that nation, through that church, he would be consumed on the altar of the cross. That would be his ministry indeed. But it's almost as if he's saying, not in my job description. I mean, what do you do when God acts strange with you? What do you do when it looks like he says, it's not my problem? And then the text says, and then she turned around and went away. Oh, no, that's not what the text says. That's not what faith does. Faith doesn't give up. Faith holds on. The woman came and knelt before him. That's worship, the word worship in the Greek. Lord, help me, she said. So it's almost like he has her eating out of his hands, but he's not helping her. And she sees the need more and more to get closer and closer. It's like we sang in our first service today, behind a frowning providence, faith sees a smiling face. She's holding on. She knows something. She's not taking no for an answer. That's what faith does. It doesn't give up. Faith is like a good kind of stubborn. Help me. Man, how many ways do you and I need to say that in our lives? Help me, Lord. But it gets really weird here. Verse 26, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Ooh. Wow. You know, back in that day, if you weren't a part of the chosen, you were a dog. And so he's using language that in that culture would be pretty striking. So what do you do when God acts strange or sounds strange? I mean, what kind of a gymnasium is this? What kind of a workout is this for a heart? I mean, you would think he's about breaking her. But he's not. He's not doing any of this to hurt her. He's doing this to grow her and to strengthen her in the confidence that God would have us all have. And this isn't really just about her. This is about how God takes us through the routine in our lives. Where do we find ourselves drawing near time and again saying, Lord, and it just seems like it's going nowhere. But as much as he may have her, now she has him. She knows. She knows. And so instead of being offended by this, she knows what puppy dogs do around the table. Now, our dog Coco has stopped begging many years ago, but she still snoops around the floor. And in Texas, she's in the kitchen like she wasn't in California, but she knows. She knows she has Jesus right where the blessings are. Yes, Lord, true. She's not going to dispute it. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Wow. That's faith. That's faith that loves and holds on, has a confidence and a trust, no matter how strange God may appear, how slow he is to act. It doesn't give up. It keeps holding on, trusting in. And then it's like Jesus breaks out. It's like he can't contain himself. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It's such a beautiful picture of faith. And what faith does. She's holding on for her daughter. And then we hear in the next portion of Mark's gospel how Jesus leaves the area, goes back, and we don't even know who they are. It's just that they see Jesus and they know that they have someone who needs no one less than Christ. And so Jesus comes and he puts his fingers in and spits on and you know, they just wanted him to lay his hands on them, and Jesus does all this weird stuff and he's healed. You see, God's ways aren't our ways. You know, he does things in your life and my life that don't make sense, but faith holds on. Faith has a confidence. How can this be? When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said to them, I mean, how can this be that we get so dialed in that we're not going to let go of the Lord? It's because we've been gospeled. Because we have heard the message of the cross. Paul says it this way. Let's read it together. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It's said another way in another translation. In him, that is God, you trusted. You had a confidence. You had a hope. You had a conviction. You had a certainty. In him, you had this confidence. After hearing the word of truth, the gospel. And it's in hearing the gospel that we are given this God-ordained faith that isn't a confidence in ourselves, it's a confidence in Christ. It's a different kind of faith. It's a saving faith. And that it holds on to Jesus. And the beauty of this faith is that it holds on to Jesus no matter what we're going through, no matter how confident we are in ourselves or in the people of those around us. We know that the Lord can help us like no one else can. And it's born of the gospel, and it focuses on the good news of the gospel of what Jesus has done for us. And because of that faith, we now have a faith that's willing to work. You know, this last week we've had a lot of rain. When you believe that it's going to rain, what do you take with yourself out of the house? An umbrella. You see, faith acts on its conviction. When we realize and know that Christ can care for us, we bring ourselves to him. When we know that he cares for us and the people around us, we bring to him the people around us that need nothing less than his touch. How he'll do it, we leave that up to him. But faith is willing to work in this way, that it holds on to Jesus and it keeps bringing others to him, that he may do what only he can do. You know, this reading for today is a powerful reading of how Jesus exercises your heart and mine. How many ways are you in the gym right now? Trust that he's at work, growing a confidence in him that will give you a boldness to connect others to him and to bring you through whatever you're going through. No matter how long it seems to be, know that he is at work so that he can also work through you and the people around you. Because that's what faith does. It holds on to Jesus and shares him with others. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.